Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yahshua, our Messiah. The name of this program is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas, and we've been going through the Bible here, book by book, chapter by chapter, and verse by verse. We left off in the book of Acts, or the Acts of the Apostles. A good friend, Luke, put his pen to paper once and trying to gather a more excellent account of the things that transpired. First, he wrote his gospel according to Luke, and he continues his chronicle here with the book of Acts. And when we left off, we were at chapter 3, about verse 22, and Luke is recording for us the words of Peter, who is standing up here and preaching a sermon. And of course, we kind of left in the middle of the sermon. He continues, he says, "For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him you shall hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you." And of course, he's talking about the Messiah, Yahshua, called Jesus today, since the advent of the authorized King James Version. And he continues and he says, "And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people." Now, that's a pretty powerful prophet if everyone who will not hear the prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Now, who is the people here? Of course, Moses is speaking to the people of Israel. This could be specific to the nation of Israel, and perhaps it is if we think about the time. Not only does this apply to all the people on the planet, I think it does, because if you don't heed this prophet, if you don't heed the Messiah, then you will be destroyed. But specifically speaking to the people there at that time, and Israel as a nation, well, this was going to come to pass really soon. It says that shall be destroyed from among the people, those that will not hear. And we know, as prophesied, that they would be killed with the edge of the sword or taken captive into the nations, the people that didn't hear what the prophet said. So this was fulfilled in their time for national Israel, as well as it will be fulfilled for everyone throughout history, even till today. Continuing, verse 24, "Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel, and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold these days." So he says, these are the last days. And these last days that he's speaking about, of course, this is Peter speaking approximately 2,000 years ago. And which means that we are still in the last days. Last days is a long period of time. It's not something Daniel 70th week off into the future, as the corporate churchianity would have you believe. These poor souls have been trained in the seminary and pretty much believe whatever they've been taught in the seminary. It's a skewed way of seeing the scriptures. Peter continues, "You are the children of the prophets, and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. For unto you first, God, having raised up his Son, Jesus, sent him to bless you, in turning away every one of you from his iniquities." Chapter 4, verse 1, "And as they spoke unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection of the dead." And of course, remember, the Sadducees, they're the ones who don't believe in the resurrection, so they're fairly grieved when someone comes preaching about the resurrection of the dead. Now, you kind of wonder, you know, were these Sadducees not paying attention? That Yahshua, Jesus, I mean, they know the man was crucified. Perhaps they started their own conspiracy theories, and I'll bet you conspiracy theories abounded because they had to explain somehow how this man escaped the crucifixion of the Romans. And believe me, the Romans did not allow anyone to escape their crucifixion. It was death. You know, they went and they jabbed you to make sure you were dead, you know, kind of like you stick the fork in the turkey in the oven to see if it's done. Well, that's how the Romans were when they crucified someone. They wanted to make sure they were done, and they jabbed Jesus to make sure that he was dead. And if you were still alive, they took a bat or a stick and they broke your legs so that you would finally suffocate, because you had to hold yourself up to keep yourself from suffocating. And that's how you could stay alive on the you know, crucifixion. And to put an end to you, to end that relief of you holding yourself up so that you could continue to breathe on the crucifix, the, you know, that struggle for life, they break your legs. But of course, they didn't break the Messiah's legs, because it was prophesied that not a bone of him would be broken. So he was dead. But somehow, they had to believe the conspiracy that they came and stole his bodies, or that he fainted on the cross and he didn't really die. And so all of the conspiracy theories came out, how they faked Jesus' death so that he could come back and show himself to for 40 days after his resurrection. Yes, people cling, you know, to, regardless of the facts, people will cling to their deception, regardless of the facts. It doesn't matter. The facts don't matter. The miracles didn't matter and wouldn't matter for those that practice iniquity. They will always be deceived, and the miracles will never sway them. And that's why they were not swayed. And that's why, you know, Moses or Abraham told the rich man in hell that they wouldn't believe if someone rose from the dead. And see, one rose from the dead and they still didn't believe. So that was the state of mind of the Sadducees. So being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Yahshua the resurrection from the dead, and they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now even. So it was late in the day, they put him in jail overnight. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow. And you know, why did people believe? Well, because there were good people in Jerusalem. There were good people in Israel. People who loved the Heavenly Father and practiced righteousness, believed in the promises and the coming Redeemer. So when they hear the word and they see the signs and the miracles and the one rose from the dead, it verifies in their heart and they believe, because they've already given their lives to the Heavenly Father. But those who do not and have not, well, like I said, miracles or no miracles, one rise from the dead or not, it doesn't matter. They still will not believe. The same state of affairs is going on today. We may not have the miracles. We may not have someone walking around who rose from the dead. But I'm going to tell you, wouldn't make any difference at all. They still would not believe. They may go, well, I would believe if, you know, I saw something miraculous. But they're kidding themselves, because they love their sin. They love their unrighteousness. They love their idolatry. And they don't want to give it up for anything. They don't want to be accountable to a God. So their mind would just play tricks on them regardless of what they were able to see. As the Messiah said, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. They say, oh, I'll believe if I see a sign. But no, they would not believe if they saw a sign. But many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and the elders and the scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander, as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set themselves that when they had set them, and that was those that they threw into prison there overnight, they'd set them in the midst, and they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? And of course, the this is healing people and preaching in the name and preaching the resurrection, and they're doing it with power and authority. And that's why they ask him, by what power or by what name have you done this? And Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Yahshua of Nazareth, of course, it says Jesus Christ in the authorized King James Version, and which would signify that he said Yahshua, the Messiah from Nazareth, because they were looking for the Messiah. And of course, if they'd have said it in Hebrew, he might have said something like Yahshua Mashiach. And excuse my Hebrew, I never practiced it, so that's the best I can do. I'll continue here in English. He says, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Now you can imagine the power, the authority, that Peter felt and all of the apostles and disciples felt. I mean, they just spent, 40 days and much of that time with the Messiah himself after he rose from the dead. You can imagine that nothing can stop them or dissuade them or change their minds, because they know they have nothing to fear, not even death itself. Not even death, because they know what will happen to them now, that the same thing that happened to their Lord and their King, the Messiah, whom they seen raised from the dead, they saw his power demonstrated, they saw how he traveled, nothing could dissuade them. They're standing up there speaking with all the authority, and the Holy Spirit speaking through them, all the authority that nothing they say can be gainsaid, fearing not even death itself. Imagine it. Put yourself in that position. Go back to that time frame that he's speaking in to understand what the boldness that Peter had. He says, he continues, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, and they marveled. I mean, you listen to what Peter's saying. He's talking about the stone that they rejected, the head of the corner. And these guys are learned in the scripture. I mean, all of these things are clicking in their mind, and the scriptures are coming up as they're speaking. And they now, they marvel. These are ignorant, unlearned men. They're Galileans. And that's probably pretty much how the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees pretty much thought about everyone in Israel, that they were ignorant and unlearned. That's pretty much a way a hierarchical religious system works. And the mentality of those in the hierarchy is that everyone else is ignorant and needs to be led about by them. But we have the Holy Ghost. We have the Holy Spirit in us. And he opens up the word to us, so we can read it with understanding. And then with boldness, the Holy Spirit can draw that word out of us. And you know that for those 40 days, on every occasion that the Messiah was speaking to them, remember how they walked on the Emmaus Road and he opened up the scripture to them? All of that went deep into their hearts. And now the Holy Spirit can draw it out from the Master's, from the mouth of the Master. It went into their hearts. And now the Holy Spirit of our Heavenly Father, the same one who put that word in there, is drawing it out. It's so important to read to listen to the Bible, to read the Bible, to listen to good Bible teaching and good Bible programming, and get it inside of you when the time comes and the Holy Spirit can draw it out. Because I'm not sure that even the Holy Spirit can draw water out of an empty well, if you get my meaning, to just draw an illustration there. You get it in, and you may not remember it all, but He'll draw it out when the time comes. That's why the Messiah said that when you go before magistrates, when you go before people, don't think beforehand what you're going to say. You know, don't make notes. And so you have your speech all prepared. Let the Holy Spirit speak. But you better have something in there for Him to draw out. That's my point. Okay. Peter continues. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and he perceived they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Ah, they're going, they were with Yahshua. And beholding the man that was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do with these men? For that indeed is a notable miracle hath been done by them, is manifest to all that dwell in Jerusalem, so we cannot deny it." Now, you know, we got Luke here, and he's writing this account. How does Luke know what happened inside the council? Well, I'll tell you why, because there were a few faithful men in that council too. Some of them were persuaded by the miracle, because not everyone in the clergy was unrighteous. Not everyone in the clergy was just an idolater and after mammon. And we have that record from the scripture itself. So we know that Luke went about and he interviewed everyone he could for this account to put it together for us. And of course, by the counsel and prompting of our Heavenly Father's Holy Spirit, He did these things, and we have this account today. So they're conferring among themselves. And what are we going to do? This is a notable miracle that hath been done. These guys, they worked in the temple. They saw this guy there all their lives working in that temple, you know, begging alms. It's a notable miracle. We can't say this was fake. We can't say this guy was faking it. It's a notable miracle that hath been done by them and manifest to all that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. Yeah, that'll work. Oh, how little understanding they exhibit if they think that's going to happen, right? Verse 18 of chapter 4. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than to unto God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So when they had further threatened them, so they threatened them more, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish men because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. Yeah, they feared the people. For the man was above 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing was showed. And being let go, which means he sat there at the gate of the temple probably for 20 years at least, if perhaps not longer. Okay, well, here comes our first break for the day. We'll be back in a few minutes.